Coffee House Shots is sponsored by EDF, Britain's biggest generator of zero carbon electricity. Find out how we are busy helping Britain achieve net zero at www.edfenergy.com.
Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's daily politics podcast. This is Katie Balls and we're broadcasting from the roof of Parliament, so you may be getting some light background music. I'm joined by Isabel Hardman and James Forsyth. Now, we've just heard from Boris Johnson in his first Prime Minister's questions of the new term. And Isabel, at the weekend, I think one would have hazarded a guess that we were heading to a situation where you would have had angry PMQs, given the fact that there are many briefings about the unease over his social care plan. What do we get instead?
I mean, firstly, I should say that it was the first PMQs back without COVID restrictions in the House of Commons, which made a big difference as well. So there was an atmosphere there. And had there been a lot of fallout from this social care reform proposal, then it would have been quite a thick atmosphere. Whereas actually it was a reasonably upbeat atmosphere, quite a tribal atmosphere, I'd say, from the Conservative benches. You had them cheering on Boris Johnson as he was answering Keir Starmer's questions. You had them at the end shouting "more" once Keir Starmer had finished his exchanges with Boris Johnson. And they were in largely a supportive mood of the Prime Minister, which I think is still a surprise, even given, as you both discussed on yesterday's podcast, given the supportive or not critical tone of the Commons yesterday, it was still surprising, I think, that the backbenchers were sounding quite so pro-Johnson this afternoon.
And James, how did Keir Starmer do? He seemed to have several attack lines rather than just focusing on one when it came to what the government's proposing.
Keir Starmer's a naturally cautious politician, but I think this caution is leaving the field clear for Boris Johnson on social care. Keir Starmer had quite a good detail point, which is, you know, the manifesto commitment from the Tories on social care is that no one will have to sell their house to pay for social care. And he asked Boris Johnson if he would repeat that. Boris Johnson dodged that because, I mean, the proposal has been there are some cases where that could still happen, but Boris Johnson has such an easy out because he can just come back and say, well, what is your plan? You don't have a plan. We've got a plan. You are in favour of the money going into the NHS, but you won't say where you'll find it. And I actually think that if Keir Starmer was a bit bolder and said, look, we're going to pay for this with a tax on assets, he'd have a dividing line which would be more difficult for Boris Johnson. You say, you want to tax the workers to protect the wealthy. Well, you want to tax the wealthy to protect everyone. And I think that this caution from Keir Starmer, this not wanting to take a position in case it gets attacked, in case the government unpick it before the next election, I think is really holding him back here. And it is allowing Boris Johnson to say, I've got a plan, you've got no plan. And I think that is making it easier for Boris Johnson. I think also, to Isabel's point, I think that's why Tory MPs are getting behind Boris Johnson, because they can sense that Keir Starmer is on the back foot here, that their guy is on the front foot, their guy is making the weather. Now, he might not be making the weather that they necessarily like, but that partisanship kicks in and they can see the party political advantage in how uncomfortable Keir Starmer seems on this topic.
Isabel, what about Labour MPs? Are they getting behind their leader?
I think there was a really awkward section in PMQs today where Boris Johnson was able to point out that Liz Kendall, the Shadow Care Minister, had actually supported a health and social care levy, which she had described as being the new beverage. And Boris Johnson was able to mock Keir Starmer quite effectively for that, actually. And it was a very, very good riposte to some of the questions that Keir Starmer had been asking about this national insurance increase. And it is difficult. And a lot of conversations I'd had with Labour MPs in the run-up to this announcement was that they'd assumed that their party would find it very hard to vote against a reform to social care, and particularly given that they've been calling for so long for cross-party talks, for the first proposal to turn up and for them basically to say no, does make them look a little bit as though they're just opposing for the sake of sort of jumping on any kind of bandwagon at all. And as we've discussed already on this podcast, that a national insurance increase does seem to have public support as well. So I think there is some anxiety amongst Labour MPs that this isn't necessarily going to work out as Sir Keir Starmer seems to think it is, and whether actually he moved a little bit too soon in response to the angry weekend noises being made by Conservative MPs about this, rather than waiting to see what the political weather was on Tuesday. And James, how is that vote looking? We're recording early afternoon, but what do the whips expect?
So we were expecting the vote about 7 p.m. and I don't think anyone thinks that the government's majority is in any danger. I think there's a speculation about how big the majority that the vote might be against it, but I think it seems more likely to be on the lower side than the higher side. And I think you could tell that as well in PMQs. This didn't feel like the Tory benches that were about to deliver trouble for the government. I mean, and it wasn't that there were no difficult questions. I mean, there was a kind of massive Craig McKinley attack on the whole net zero agenda. But it doesn't seem like this is the issue on which that they are going to rebel. I mean, I also think there's a lot of private grumbling from Tory MPs, but they are watching, and they are watching the media reaction and the public reaction, and they're not quite, you know, and that's been sufficiently positive, but they haven't done that. And I think one of the most telling things is, since the actual announcement was made yesterday, how few Tory MPs have gone on the record to oppose it, and how many of those who went on the record towards the back end of last week or over the weekend to express concerns are now saying that their concerns have been addressed by this or that tweak to the plan.
I spoke to Marcus Fish, who's one of the Conservative MPs, who was saying very clearly that he was against the policy as being set out. So I spoke to him earlier today, and he said that he will be abstaining this evening because he can't support the policy as set out at the moment. But he and others want to work constructively with the government to try to change it. And they've been given indications basically by ministers that there could be some changes underway as well. So there's definitely been a sort of a softening, not just from the rebels, but also from ministers. I think it's also worth remembering that the timing of this vote is quite important. So MPs have been bounced into it. There is not a discreet, coherent social care rebels group. It's not a ginger group of people. In fact, many of the there are, I'd say, probably some disparate groups of MPs who have different sorts of objections to different aspects of this plan, which means there's no whipping operation going on for the rebels, really. And MPs knew they were on a three-line whip, which is not at all unusual on a Wednesday, but they didn't know that they were going to be voting on social care this week at the weekend when they were making their plans. So they haven't really had a chance to organise, and that's exactly why this vote is being held when it is.
James, do you think it's fair to say this is a week where we're actually seeing Boris Johnson as leader is a very powerful leader right now in terms of his party? He's managed to, we expect, shortly put through a plan that ideologically many of his MPs don't like, but yet they're making the calculation that A, they can't change it, and two, they're putting a little bit of faith in their leader that perhaps they know better.
Yeah, I think it's two things. I think one, the framing at the weekend, this was very much being framed as money for social care. I mean, the emphasis on the NHS backlog has made the political sense to more people. I was talking to a cabinet minister who is not a kind of instinctive tax raiser, and they said, look, you know, you can't get round the fact that going into the next election with an NHS waiting list of, you know, 10 million or more would be a bigger political problem for the Tories than having broken their manifesto commitment on tax. So I think that emphasis on the NHS backlog has sold lots of MPs on it, because I think MPs are already beginning to get post bags from people saying, I haven't been able to get an appointment for ages, or I've had an appointment, I've now not been told that I can't come back for a long time. So I think that has had an effect. And then I think, secondly, there is the fundamental fact that Boris Johnson's relationship with his party is a very transactional one. Tories are and always have been a party of pragmatists. As long as this approach appears to be working and they are leading in the polls and they look like they're going to win the next election, I think you will see Tory MPs prepared to go along with this kind of thing. And I think that is the crucial ingredient to Boris Johnson's success at the moment, is he can say, look, I'm an election winner, this is going to be popular, and people are prepared to trust him on this. I mean, but I think, you know, his power in the party is very bound up with his personal ratings and the poll numbers.
And Isabel, just finally, where do you think the risk is now for the government on this policy? Because one of the things that we've seen Sajid Javid and others fail to really answer is assurance that this money will definitely go to social care, something you've written about in Coffee House. So do you think there's a point where the penny might drop there a few years down the line? Where is the risk?
Yeah, so there's a number of risks. One is that the NHS backlog does not get cleared, and it's very difficult. And you'll notice that the PM didn't offer a guarantee that it was going to be cleared within the next 3 years. And in the questions after the session with between Number 10 and journalists, Number 10 also did not guarantee that the backlog was going to be cleared, because partly because ministers in the health service don't know how big the backlog is yet. There's a risk the backlog will not be cleared. We've got lots of factors contributing to that: staffing problems in the NHS, infection control measures that mean hospitals can't move as quickly, and actually a lack of an actual plan on how to clear the backlog from the government. There's also a risk, which is part of the backlog not being cleared, but also just the nature of the NHS as a sort of plug hole, really, down which a lot of money gets poured. At what stage does the NHS ever say, no, actually, we're doing okay for money, someone else can have it? And you talk to NHS leaders, and they have definitely become much more sympathetic over the past decade to the argument that investing in social care protects the NHS, that it stops delayed discharges, that it also it ensures that people have a better quality of life at home, don't end up needing the sort of acute care that they might do for falls and so on, that they do at the moment. But their argument is not don't invest in us, invest in social care, it's invest in both of us. So talking to lots of Conservative MPs this morning, none of them think that money's going to end up in the social care sector. What they seem to think is going to happen is that the 1.25% hike in national insurance will end up being a higher hike. So actually taxes will go up again, because we'll get to the end of those 3 years and Boris Johnson will say, well, the backlog is bigger than we expected, this is unavoidable, I know I don't want to raise taxes, but I'm afraid I'm going to have to in order to fund both sectors.
Thank you, Isabel. Thank you, James. And thank you for listening.